The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "No one can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds in the sky. They do not sow or reap. They gather nothing into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are not you more important than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single moment to your lifespan? Why are you anxious about your clothes? Learn from the way the wild flowers grow. They do not work or spin. But I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was clothed like one of them. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which grows today, is thrown into the oven tomorrow, will he not much more provide for you, O you of little faith? So do not worry and say, 'What are we to eat? Or what are we to drink? Or what we to wear?' All these things that pagans seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you besides. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient for a day is its own evil." The Gospel of the Lord. Good evening. This past weekend, from Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I was with the Holy Family parishioners. Some of us went to Anaheim for the Religious Ed Congress. So it's a gathering of Catholics and some are non-Catholics for different talks and events that talk about God, talk about the social justice that we experience today. Those are great events for us, but one thing that struck me is not much with the talks, but with my friend. He's a priest friend of mine, and this week we were walking from different events, different convention centers, and he kept saying this, "Lilies of the field, lilies of the field, lilies of the field." That was Thursday, and then the next day he said, "Lilies of the field, lilies of the field." Is he nuts or what? And he was whispering this, and I said, by Saturday morning, I asked him, "What are you doing? This is kind of annoying." And he said, "That's how I prepare my homilies." While he was preparing to listen to a talk, he was preparing his homily by repeating some words in the gospel. And he said to me, "What kind of priest are you?" Oopsie daisies. It helped me to think that he was using the creativity of his mind. How to prepare a homily, how to construct a homily about lilies of the field. Number one, lily is a flower, and then there's another word, field. In the biblical times when we talk about field, the soil needs to be cultivated. The lilies of the field in the gospel are wildflowers that doesn't need to be taken care of a lot. And the soil doesn't need to be cultivated, but it survives the heat, the cold, and everything. It helped me also to reflect that Jesus used nature. Jesus used the birds, the air, the flowers, the water. And we tend to forget, as people of faith, that Jesus himself is a creative man. People, we think to forget that God, Jesus is God, but yet he is a human being as well, that full of creativity in his mind. And he uses those images to pray and to teach about the kingdom of God, which is love, mercy, and compassion. And where am I going about talking about this? Because last week, we talked about generosity, how to be generous to one another with time, with finances, with relationship. And remember January 1st, I told you, do not worry about the resolutions in life, but work on your relationship, because resolutions doesn't last forever. Relationship lasts forever. And this is what happened with Jesus. He is building relationship with one another, with his disciples, using the images of the world that we tend to forget and we oversee. Because of our rigidness or sometimes being closed and the experience of life. Now, this particular gospel that we read today, that you heard today, is part of the Sermon on the Mount or the Beatitude. Do not worry about your food. Do not worry about your clothes. But come to think of it, as human beings, really? Jesus or God? I have to worry about this thing because these are our basic needs. I have to worry about the clothing. I have to worry about food and shelter. But the context here that Jesus used is during his time and even today, people are worried about this so many things in life that they forget about relationship with God. Makes sense, or does it relate to us when we pray? What do we ask? We ask for good clothing, nice house, fast and furious cars. Those are the things that we ask sometimes. Maybe this year, we can ask God, help me to build relationship with one another. Because relationship is more work than our physical needs, isn't it? Husband and wives, boyfriend, girlfriend, siblings, single person, our community, relationship is more work than our clothes, our food. But I think, take it as a positive thing, that we are challenged by God today. Do not worry, because God will be there for us. And I attended a workshop by Ronald Rollheiser yesterday, and he told the congregation, or the audience, he said, I want you to reflect about the cross. The cross is the image of self-giving. It looks awful. It looks awful. But yet, for us Christians, it's the most beautiful image of our faith. It's the irony of life and death. Look at the cross as a beautiful image that will teach relationship. The cross is painful, yet life-giving. How can we work with this during Lent? As I said last week, I encourage you to be generous in spirit this Lent. I always teach people, or my former students, do not give up anything. I encourage them, do not give up anything, because it's like resolutions during New Year. I want to lose weight. By March, I gave up. Same thing with Lent. I will give up chocolates. By next Friday, I'm eating Kit Kat all over the place. Why? Because if we set a condition for ourselves this big, it's not going to work. God always asks small things. Like what we heard in another gospel, do not worry about big things. Worry about small things. So this Lent, don't give up anything, but I encourage you to do more, to love more, to forgive more, and to be with people that you love more. For those people you haven't called for ages, pick up the phone or text them. This is Lent, because we built relationship. And there is Ronald Rollheiser and his talk in a saying by a saint, Julian of Norwich. And she said, and I want to give it to you as we prepare for Lent. She says, all shall be well, all shall be well. All manner of things shall be well. I'm going to repeat it again so you can take it home. All shall be well. All shall be well, and all matter of thing shall be well. Do not worry about big things. Work on your relationship with one another, and big things will take care of itself. May we have a good Lent, and let us pray for one another, because we need one another to build relationship in the kingdom of God.
Thank you, Father Marlin, for challenging us to take seriously our Christian call to relationships, our Christian call to trust. One of the themes of the Congress that we were at with about 40,000 other Catholics was to embrace trust, and that's not always easy to do. So as we begin Lenten season, this is our Catholic experience of walking with Jesus, of being with Jesus. It's our holiest seasons of Lent, Triduum, and Easter, 90 days, and how we live that together, walk that together. We want this to be the best Lent ever. Matthew Kelly is an author who began a group called Dynamic Catholics, and he has a little invitation for us as we begin tonight this consideration of Lent.
Hi, I'm Matthew Kelly, and on behalf of everyone here at Dynamic Catholic, I want to invite you to join us for our Best Lent Ever program this year. Do not give up chocolate for Lent this year. Let's do something incredible. Let's do something different. Let's do something creative. Think about it. When was the last time you had a really memorable Lent? Can you look back and say, oh, in 1984 and in 2001 or in 1997? When's the last time you had a truly memorable Lent? This year, let's make a great journey together. What is the Best Lent Ever program? Every day, we'll send you an email for 40 days during Lent with a short video and some other great inspirational content to help you have the best Lent of your life. So join us for the Best Lent Ever program. Don't give up chocolate this Lent. Let's do something incredible together. And remember, be bold, be Catholic.
Into the church, and if you didn't, they are out there on your way out. Their little card that says, don't give up chocolate for Lent, best Lent ever. But the most important thing is on the back side. It says, do something life-changing. Do something life-changing this Lent. If you want to get to what he's asking, there you go on bestlentever.com, and they will be sending these little videos and little meditations to your email every day. And you'll be joining with people throughout the world to take a moment to pray, to take a moment to make some life-changing decisions this Lent. Last night I was talking to someone and they're just going to take 10 minutes of silence, which I think sometimes we don't allow. And that may be the life-changing thing for that person. Maybe it's some of the other activities. Maybe it's listening to Matthew Kelly. In our bulletin on page 19, there's a lot of different possibilities that we support one another with here at Holy Family. We invite you. Let's make this the best Lent ever so that we can celebrate Easter with fullness and glory, and we can sing the Alleluia. We can sing the Glory, Gloria again. This was the last time. You're the last community at Holy Family today that got to sing Alleluia and got to sing the Gloria until our Easter celebration. So let's make this the best Lent ever. Thank you, and God bless.